second hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point, as we are in October. Doesn't feel like it outside. Mid-80s. May not feel like it tonight. It is fall, but it probably doesn't feel like it tonight around high school football. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you every Friday at this time. We talk with Big Joe on the go, Joe Dubin. You can find all the scores you can in high school information you could possibly want on a Friday evening tonight by checking out what site, Joe?
Good morning, girls. Main Street Preps is where you can find it on Twitter tonight, on the website, Main Street Preps. The guys, Russell and Tyler and Zach and all the guys, do a great job of not only just getting scores but telling the stories that build up to the week. So I'm proud to be a very, 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 very small part of that. So love the guys, so thank you. Main Street Preps is where it is.
Kelly Holcomb was on yesterday. We were talking about that Riverdale defense. They pitched the shutout last night against Siegel. Is this defense good enough to take them a long ways this season?
Well, they won last night over Siegel 35-0. I think that's their fourth shutout of the season. Look, Riverdale's always been good, but the problem is, down there, I mean, you get beat up during the regular season by playing Blackman and Oakland, and now, I mean, they got to play Oakland here in a few weeks, and you get to the playoffs, then you got to play these teams all over again. But, you know, defense wins championships. They got a heck of a defense. It's going to come down again to Riverdale in Oakland. And I tell you, Coach Kreisky at Riverdale, fantastic. We love Kelly. I love what they do. That's a great program. But, again, that defense, when they go against Oakland, we'll see how really good that defense is in a few weeks. But right now, I mean, just shutout after shutout. And last night, they took it to Siegel and went in 35-0.
Yeah, that'll be a titanic matchup here in a couple of weeks. How about Station Camp over Mount Juliet last night, huh?
You know what? It's a great point, Garrett. They beat Mount Juliet last night 28-27. That's a big win for Station Camp. They're now, you know, leading the region against Mount Juliet. But Station Camp, you know, it's been a okay program. Not great, not bad. It's kind of there. And now with the new head coach against Coach Alexander, they've done a great job. And last night it came down to a field goal. And if you watch the video, we have it on Main Street Preps, he misses the field goal. And there was a huge crowd there last night. They go crazy. But, you know, Mount Juliet's always been good. Coach Perry has a great job there. But watching, and that's what I love about high school football, seeing these programs that have been sort of dormant in the last 5 to 7 years really emerging and coming together just shows you there really is no, in high school football, unlike college, you know, you get the 4 or 5 great teams, but it's always good to see these other teams kind of rise to the top, and that's what Station Camp is doing right now. So now they're 3-0 in the region. Mount Juliet falls to 3-1. Huge win for Station Camp.
What else sticks stands out to you here in our area for tonight, Joe? What's a couple of games we need to be paying close attention to?
Great question, Darren. Well, for a big one tonight in Region 7, 6A, Ravenwood goes to Summit. That's also the TV game tonight. Summit 6-0, Ravenwood 5-1. They've won 5 straight since they lost the NBA in week 1. They beat a very good Hendersonville team last week. But if you want to go see two outstanding players, the Wade brothers at Summit are absolutely fantastic. Mm. And how they got out of the state of Tennessee is still beyond me. And they're headed to Kentucky to play football. But, you know, Brian Coleman at Summit, defending state champions, they moved up to 6A. That's a huge game tonight. Keep your eye on. Another game is Pope Prep takes on NBA. That's a huge game within the region because NBA, since that week 1 win over Ravenwood, they're only averaging like 18 points a game. And they got one of the best quarterbacks in the country in Marcel Reed. But Pope Prep's 5-1, and if they can beat NBA tonight, they've got a huge leg up in the region that goes on. Now, another game, and I know we got a lot of people listening in Clarksville tonight, and Montgomery Central, we don't talk about them a lot. They are 6-0. They take on Greenbrier tonight. This is a huge Region 5 4A game. If you're in Montgomery County and Clarksville, go check out Montgomery Central. To be 6-0 right now in a pretty tough region is a great job of that. And let's go back real quick, Darren, to check in. You know, Oakland beat Lipscomb, you know, what, 8 days ago. Mm-hmm. They play Blackman tonight. Blackman's 3-3, Oakland 5-0. I want to see how Oakland plays after coming off a really emotional close game with Lipscomb 8 days. I'm interested to see how they play tonight. On the flip side, Lipscomb takes on Davidson Academy. How are they going to play after losing a close game? Because that was so emotional 8 days ago down at Murfreesboro watching Oakland beat Lipscomb. So Davidson Academy, great program. Jonathan Quinn, a proud McGavick High graduate. We know that McGavick High produces only winners. So that'll be a tough game tonight for Trent Dilfer as he takes on Davidson Academy. Those are the games that stand out tonight.
Did you write that down? Was that in your notes?
That is in everything I have to talk about. It's all, it goes back. You know, I tell that. You know, people don't understand that The Rock, and we guys know this, went to McGavick for 6 weeks, but we claim him as an alumni. It doesn't matter. He was there for 6 weeks, so to us, he's an alumni of McGavick High School.
Yeah, well, then shouldn't he be donating money to McGavick High School, like building a new wing?
I've only asked about 70 times, and I've gotten zero replies back. Speaking of that, though, look at that. My Metro game tonight, Overton travels to McGavick. That, back when I played, here we go, back when he played, that was a huge, I mean, there'd be 10,000 people at this game. You know, times have changed, but that's a big Metro game tonight in the region, Overton and McGavick. Overton's undefeated in the region, McGavick's 1-1, so again, big game, whoever gets the win gets kind of a leg up because you beat a region opponent. It almost counts like two wins. So Overton and McGavick tonight is my Metro game of the week.
Joe Dubin with us, and we're talking high school football. Joe, I saw the play of the week last night, two nights ago, personally. It was a great clip, and it's just funny how worlds collide in Nashville. But Nacho Mungale, if I'm saying his last name right, DCA, the one-handed grab contested for the DCA Wildcats. I was playing pickleball with my little group of friends. His parents are out there, and so we start talking, find out that he plays with your son at DCA. And
right.
I said, they said, you got to see this clip. You got to see this catch that their son made. And so they pulled it up, and I was like, I'm hitting Joe Dubin with this first thing on Friday, because that was that was big time. That could have been SportsCenter top 10.
It was. It's Magale. So I've only
Magale,
butchered it.
Yeah.
I've only butchered it 50 times. So I got corrected on it. So it's Magale, and it was a great pass. It was, former Vanderbilt standout Brad Gaines. His son is the quarterback at DCA, and he just threw the pass up, you know, close to the end zone, and the kid was waiting to intercept it. All of a sudden, Nacho Magale, comes over and just takes the one-handed. I mean, he's probably 10 feet in the air, man. It was unbelievable. And the best part was when he came down, he gave his body up, but protected the ball and then landed. That video got like 10,000 views in like that weekend. It was crazy because people started seeing it tactics. That's not a play you see every day in any level of football. It was just an amazing play. And by the way, Willie, his dad is gigantic.
Yes.
So I wouldn't argue any calls against Nacho's dad.
No, and I was glad to be his partner a couple of times, but when I have played against him, I have not been victorious either. He's a good athlete and a really big guy and a really nice guy. I mean, he's awesome. I've really enjoyed meeting him.
Where do we play pickleball, Willie?
We're playing over at Cedar Hill Park, out near Davidson Academy, White's Creek, off of Old Hickory. There, really nice park. So we got a little evening action a couple times a week. I get over there when I can. It's a good group.
Is it? Pickleball is very addictive. People don't understand this.
We're talking to Big Joe, Main Street Preps, Main Street Media. You can check it out, Big Joe on the Go on Twitter. We were talking about Oakland a little bit earlier, and I feel like this game, it's always going to mean something to Murfreesboro and to Rutherford County, Oakland versus Blackman. But I know Blackman maybe not the same as they were a few years ago, but this one still has some intrigue.
It does, just because you never know. I mean, Blackman could knock off Oakland tonight. It would be a huge win for Blackman because it's in the community. It's in Rutherford County. It goes on down there. But Oakland just has a way of just punt. That's why the game against Lipscomb was just different, because Oakland's got a way of just punishing you, of just punishing you and punishing you, and finally put you out of your mercy. In the second half, there's a running clock. That's why with Lipscomb, it's such a good game, because we haven't seen Oakland being tested that way. That's why I'm interested to see how they come out tonight and play against Blackman. Got a new coach. Again, it's another region game against rivals, So you keep your eye on that because, as we say, any given Sunday, any given Friday night, anything could happen. And so if we all know Kevin Creasy very well, you know, I just know the message to his team this week is like, don't let up. I mean, this is another big – this game tonight is more important than the game against Lipscomb because it's a region game, and it means so much more. So interesting to see how that plays out tonight because, again, it's another huge game within the region. And this is also week 7. So next week, a lot of schools are on fall break. So there's a bye week. So a lot of teams aren't playing next week. So that's why this week is so important. It's kind of like next week we take a breath, and then we have the final 3 weeks of the season. And you already see kind of the playoff implications are out tonight as well for games. So that's why week 7 is a big week in high school football.
Well, and here's the other thing, JoJo. You talk about Kevin Creasy, and you know what kind of coach he is. But you got 16, 17, 18-year-old kids that they have the schedule. They're looking at next Thursday night, a big one against CPA, even though that's not a region game. That's just like Lipscomb. That's a big one. And yep. Then the week after, a huge region game, district game against Riverdale. So you got to coach a little extra of not having them look too far ahead.
No, and that's why, you know, the old cliche of a coach is, you know, what's the most important game on the schedule? The next one. And so you got to pay attention tonight because you look at the CPA like, oh, my God, we got Riverdale. Next thing you know, Blackman beat you. I mean, so you got to pay attention to what's at hand and what's in front of you tonight. So, again, that's why interesting to see how that plays and how Lipscomb plays as well, too, because that's also a region game versus Davidson Academy. A few other games across the area that are big, and I've already told you, you know, a great city for high school football is Hendersonville. They take on Clarksville tonight. That's a big Region 5, 6A game. Hendersonville is actually leading, Region 6, 5A game. Hendersonville is leading that region right now at 2-0. So Winnebago Clarksville, who's at 1-1, is a big, big deal. Also, we got to give a little shout-out to Lebanon High School tonight. They're taking on Shelbyville. They're both undefeated in the region. So, again, region play is so important tonight. That game is at Lebanon. They're having a great season so far. Their best season starts they've had in years over there. So you look at the schedule tonight, dotted with big games around the area with huge region and playoff implications.
Yeah, no doubt. And also CPA at FRA tonight. CPA has been a buzzsaw, but that was always a rivalry back in the day. So excited about that one because I'm glad that those two teams are in the same region again. So that should be a lot of fun.
Well, not only that, too, but you look at the other games like tonight, Columbia takes on Page. Columbia's 4-2. Page is 6-0. And I didn't know this. Page's quarterback is a Colorado State commitment, Jake McNamara. They're 6-0. And I love seeing these kids get these offers like Colorado State. You go play football at Colorado. I just love seeing a lot of focus on the kids around Middle Tennessee who get these offers. And they can go off to other schools, not necessarily in the South, and play college football. From what I looked at this morning, this Jake McNamara, quarterback at Page, pretty darn good. So that's a big game tonight as they take on Columbia, another region game.
All right, Joe. Well, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy DCA tonight and their matchup against Clarksville Academy. We'll do it again next Friday.
Love you guys. We'll see you then. Thank you.
Joe Dubin, Main Street Preps, Main Street Media, does a great job for them. Follow him on Twitter at Big Joe on the Go as he joins us every Friday at 11 to talk some high school football. Darren, as we go to the break, tell us about your friends at Cool Springs MD.
Well, we love Joe too, and I also love Cool Springs MD because they've been helping me improve my quality of life for years, and I've been going there for years, and they've helped me become healthier and happier. And that is a good thing, and I hope you would want that as well. And I know a lot of you have been going there, and you're also happy as well. And they do so many things under one roof at Cool Springs MD. They've got a team there, a very experienced team. And you've got Dr. Jeffrey Lodge front and center, the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse. And they can help you in a variety of ways. Whether you've maybe tacked on some unwanted pounds, which, raise your hand, I've got mine up. Who hasn't had that happen while you've been an adult? I would say it's probably happened multiple times. And they would love to help you shed those unwanted pounds. They've got programs and products and people that can help you do that ASAP. Put you right back going in the right direction. Make you happier. That's part of being healthier and happier. Rejuvenation, your appearance, is important. It's certainly important to me. And boy, does it get tougher as we get older. Well, their experienced staff can sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, etc. Hormone therapy. Maybe you've been feeling off lately. Haven't felt like yourself. You just don't have the same drive. You don't have the same energy. Maybe you've been experiencing some mood swings. And you're looking around going, this just isn't me. What the heck's going on? Well, as we age, a lot of you don't know, your levels dip. Sometimes they dip to an all-time low, and you could be completely unaware of it. It could affect you in one or all of these areas. Well, their team can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof. At 1642 Westgate Circle there in Cool Springs, it's a state-of-the-art facility. If you would like to learn everything about them, just simply go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. You can join us in partnering with Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Yes, Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, what we want to do is raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November 4th. You can learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. So the Titans will be in New York to take on the Jets. The injury report typically comes out when we get off the air. How did yesterday's injury report look, guys?
It was loaded.
Yes, it was.
It was.
So let's talk about it.
Stacked and packed, so to speak. But it had the names on there.
Are you ordering at Waffle House? What are you doing?
I'm stalling so I can pull the injury report up because I figured that's what you were wanting me to do there. A.J. Brown, Bud Dupree, Caleb Farley, and Julio Jones all did not practice for the second day in a row. Mm-hmm. Taylor Lewan, who did not practice on Wednesday, was back at practice as a full participant. Laurel Murchison did not practice for the second day in a row with an elbow. Christian Fulton, who was limited on Wednesday, he was a full participant. Brett Kern was limited on Wednesday, did not practice on Thursday. That report, of course, was out there that they had signed a punter.
Saffold. They put him on the active roster, by the way.
Yes, so they did
so
do that.
So that tells you something.
Saffold was limited again, second day in a row. Tart was limited, second day in a row. Jayon Brown, second day in a row as a full participant. Anthony Firkser, second day in a row as a full participant. And Derrick Henry did not practice non-injury-related rest. So the loaded injury report for the Titans.
Let's talk about Julio here.
Let's do it.
I was thinking about this the other day. You know, because yesterday...
You want to talk about his hammy?
The hammy, yeah. Last year, I don't know if it's the same hamstring that's bothering him this year, but something that really just popped into my head was the entire conversation last year about why he missed so many games. Like when he did that initial press conference in the summer when he just got traded, he said, you know, I've for the most part, I haven't had a lot of injuries over my career, but last year I did. And he felt like he tried to play through the hamstring issue that he had last year, and it cost him. So I wonder if that has weighed on him and the Titans staff in how they are proceeding week to week, even going back to the start of training camp with him. I don't know if he tweaked the hamstring early in training camp and that's why he was missing a lot and it's crept up again. I have no idea because they didn't tell us anything about what he was dealing with in the training camp. I just know he didn't practice.
They're so forthcoming.
He didn't
practice.
And now you have this where they grudgingly have had to say he's got a hamstring problem, which all they had to do was say on Sunday, and this wouldn't really be that surprising, honestly. Yeah. But it was kind of like, well, why did they do it that way?
Because
But I get it. If this is how they want to go, again, it falls into that theme of you got to think long term here. Mm-hmm. You've got to manage it. The worst thing that can happen is that he hurts it really bad and it becomes a season-long thing that hampers him.
Yep.
So if they're playing kid gloves, he's 32, and you're saying, you know, we can't push it, that makes sense. And I think it's good to be upfront about that, even if there's a little bit of why can't he play, man? What's the deal? You can't play. Somewhere along the line, you're going to get showered with criticism if he's not out there. But I think the best thing is to be upfront and say, look, we've done the research. This is modern times, and we saw what happened last year. We're going to try to be smart about this, and the smartest thing is to take it slow.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what they – because like you said, long-term, that's what they need. I mean, they need these guys for later in the season. Should you beat the Jets even without them? Yes. Do you want to beat the Jets? Absolutely yes. But we all know that it's very hard to run the table in this league. The any given Sunday, you know, phrase is one that comes to mind. But if ever there was a time that you had to sit a bunch of these guys – now's the time, because you'd rather have them ready for the Bills and the Chiefs than you would the Jets and the Jaguars. So,
and even if it was a big game, I still think it would be smart to think,
yeah,
down the road, you know, let's hope it gets stronger and it doesn't get worse. We don't know how bad it is. They made it sound like in an emergency he could have gone in there,
right?
So hopefully they're catching this before it becomes a problem.
But if I'm Mike
Vrabel, AJ Brown's going to be in this boat as he starts to heal. He's going to start having that dilemma of, I want to get back in there. My team needs me. I want to play. And somebody's going to have to say, now wait, AJ, we know about the hamstring. Hamstrings can get reaggravated easy, and it becomes a big problem.
But prime example, two years ago, almost three seasons ago now, when they went to the AFC title game, they sat Derrick Henry out against the Saints.
Yes.
Because it didn't matter what they did against the Saints. Like that game,
it was a non-conference game.
Didn't matter. Nothing. The result of that game did not matter. And they sat him out. And he came back and he put 200 up against Houston. And then they went on that run and he was a buzzsaw. So that showed you right there, it depends on the severity. Like, how severe is the strain? You know, what
but that was
going
really
on.
Smart, because I think he probably could have played.
Because I think if he had played, he may not have been as effective in the playoffs and you know, that last game.
We will never know, but how they played, it worked out perfect.
But if you sit them both this week and you take the result, whatever the result is, if you go up to New York and you get beat, that sucks that you lose to the Jets, but you whatever. But you take the result, you sit them out, but then if you have them available – the rest of the way when it matters the most, then it's going to look like the right decision. I think it's the right decision.
And you're going to have to take the heat that goes with the decision. There also, I guess, is a scenario where he does feel good, maybe practices today, maybe a little bit tomorrow, and there's a limited package.
Or doesn't practice at all, yeah. I mean,
and there's maybe there's a limited package. You go in saying, okay, let's use him for 15 plays or something like that, the right plays where he's a threat. I guess you could play that game.
But we know most coaches,
they'd rather not do it that way.
Well, we know what Friday means. Wednesday and Thursday is a totally different animal than Friday. Most coaches, more times than not, your butt better be out there on Friday, or probably you're not playing. I mean, there have been exceptions made over the years, but not very many. It seems like if you're not ready to go Friday's practice, more than likely, you're probably not going to be out there on Sunday. Like I said, that doesn't always hold true for all players, but all players are not created equally. If Derrick Henry wants to miss a Friday practice and he says he can go on Sunday, he'll be playing on a Sunday if that were the case. Julio Jones, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a hamstring, you're talking about a wide receiver. Let me pose this question to you guys. If the Colts were to lose, they're never going to talk about this, but we can. If the Colts were to lose to the Dolphins and drop to 0-4, we know the Jags just dropped to 0-4. The Texans are no threat. They're completely irrelevant in all this. And the Titans go to New York and beat the Jets. They're 3-1. I mean, you're talking about a stranglehold. I know that's through four games. That's 13 more games to go. I get it. Still a long ways to go. But you already have a pretty firm stranglehold on the division already. Does that change your mindset a little bit with what we're talking about in the month of October?
I think the mindset is do what you have to do to win the division and be playing your best at the end of the season. I think it's too early to say you have a stranglehold, but yeah. It's certainly nice to have.
You're in a good position.
It's certainly nice to have.
0-4 and 3-1 is a pretty steep mountain to climb already out of the gates for Indy. Wouldn't we agree? By the way, they're the underdog in that game.
Yeah,
I know,
against Miami.
You know, that is something to watch. Is can the Colts stabilize and get back to where they're in this thing? But I think you have to try to just. You have to compartmentalize to a degree. I think you can't get caught up too much in what are the other teams doing. I think you still, your big focus is how does our team continue to get better every week and how do we peak at the right time? One of the beauties of having Derrick Henry is he seems to be, I mean, the track record will show it. It's not a seam. It has been. He's been at his best in the final month.
Yeah.
And that's another big thing. And, you know, I know we talk about this a lot, but they're taxing him a lot. They need to tax him a lot right now. But you want to also be wary of, you know, let's have him do what he's always done. And that's just absolutely start killing people at the end of the season when they get worn down and nobody wants to tackle him. It's hard enough to tackle him right now. And speaking of that, I love the new thing he's got going right now. People don't want to get stiff-armed by him. So you notice they're kind of trying to get a little lower. They kind of go down. And his new thing is to take the back of your head and just throw them down on the back of the helmet or the back of the shoulder pads. That's a new one. So it's like you have the stiff arm and then now the one hand. I don't know what we call that. Just, yeah.
Have turf.
Eat some grass. Yeah. I love that.
No, I love it too. No, I mean.
Have a dirt sandwich.
Yeah, but, take this dirt sandwich.
But to that point. This is how Derrick Henry is going to be able to play for many more years, and this is what he has to do with how he plays the position. He's changing his game. He's coming up with new moves. He's got the stiff arm.
Evolving.
But he's evolved it to where it's not as much a stiff arm as a sit down, you know.
Yeah. That, oh, you're going to go after my thighs right. and legs, ankles? Well, while you go down there, why don't you eat some grass?
Right. So that's... I mean, that's what makes him such a great player. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but Jared was talking about him, I think it was yesterday, and he made the comment of he thinks he's one more major accolade away from being in the Hall of Fame. And I don't know if I'm ready to go that far, but I mean, if he does 2,000 again, then yeah, I think he's in.
Oof.
Super Bowl. I mean, there's.
We're only in week four, but I see what the discussion is materializing.
But
with
it's
that. There's
it's
a
easy
lot of
not to go down
sir.
That path. Yes. Like it's just he's doing so many incredible things that, you know, it's hard not to go down that path.
Was it not eye opening the stat that I don't know where Joe got it, but 25 the last 25 games by Derrick Henry are the most any running back has ever had in a 25 game span. We're not talking about like a 3 or 4 game span. 25 games, that's pretty significant. But his last 25 are the greatest amount of yards that any back has ever gotten over 25 games. That's scary good. That is, when you start talking about all-time greats. Now, we know longevity is a part of it. We know postseason success is probably a part of it. But it's moving in the arrow is pointing in a certain direction here. The key is to preserve that thing. If he can preserve his body and keep doing what he's doing, we know where it's going to go.
It's interesting. He was asked about his workload yesterday. He spoke with the media, and here's what Derrick Henry had to say.
Does a reception touch count the same to you as a carry in terms of the workload?
Y'all keep asking about this workload and stuff. I mean, I just go out there and play. And that's y'all to look at. I just go out there and play, you know, and take care of my body and be ready to play again.
I love that answer. And it's so typical of Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it is a media-driven thing. It is not you can tell. It took Mike Vrabel off guard when it first started happening. I mean, I think he's grown accustomed to it by now. But, I mean, this all started last year. This is all driven, and I get it, because of in the past. And numbers show you, you know, what happens, how running backs can tail off. But I'll continue to say it. Not all running backs are created equally. Derrick Henry, let's all say it together, is elite. He's different than everybody else. Stop comparing him to Sean Alexander. He's not Sean Alexander, okay? He's different than Sean Alexander. He's just the who was the guy for the Falcons that came over from the Chargers? I'm drawing Michael Turner.
Yeah,
guess
Michael
what?
Turner.
Michael Turner is not Derrick Henry. So stop comparing him to Michael Turner. Okay, Michael Turner had a great season or two, great, but he's not Derrick Henry. He's just not. And Derrick Henry is different than everybody else. And I just love that answer because Derrick Henry doesn't care about that stuff. He didn't care about – you think he goes in and after the game and he's like, how many touches did I have? How many receptions? How many targets? How many times did I carry the ball? You think he – no, he doesn't care about that stuff.
No, he doesn't care. He's going to do the job. But to just blow it off like it's like the history had never happened, then that is not smart either. But I think Derrick Henry, he would also admit that he is very aware of the history – and it drives him in his off-season workouts. That interview we did with, I always forget his name, Connor Orr, I thought was a great window into the mindset of here's how I'm going to be different. Here is how I'm going to take care of my body, work on recovery, find all the innovative treatments that will help me stay out there longer. There's a little Tom Brady thing to it. You know, it's harder for Derrick Henry. But Tom Brady at age 44, I think is, you know, whatever the crazy doctor guy that, you know, was part of the wedge between him and the Patriots to some degree. Remember that whole tell-all article that came out a few years ago? You got to give that guy credit on some, even if it's just like a placebo effect. Like Tom Brady thinks this guy's helping him. The fact is Tom Brady has preserved his body to where he can still make the throws. He can still stay out there. Derrick Henry, I think, has a similar mindset. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be the guy that is different than who the guys have been before me.
And I'll be curious to see, you know, with Brady or with Derrick Henry, you know, are they just freaks of nature and that's what they're going to be? And we're going to talk about that they're freaks of nature for being able to defy the odds, so to speak, or are people going to look at their methods and how they do it, and you're going to see more and more do that?
No, because not everybody, once again, is created equally. You can do all that stuff, but not everybody's body is built the same way.
Well, I understand, but you can't tell me that he's the only one that's built that way. Like in the world.
In the NFL, I can tell you, yes, he is.
But coming up through the ranks, you don't know what's coming up. I mean, there could be another guy that, you know, can take that method and it work.
Well, if he's got the same body type and the same mentality as Derrick Henry and the same vision as Derrick Henry and the same work ethic as Derrick Henry and the same attitude as Derrick Henry, then yeah, he'll be the next Derrick Henry. But okay. Let's see that play out first. That's a whole lot of things that have to happen.
Sure.
Why is anybody talking about Tom Brady's age this year?
Well, I mean, no, you know
last
what they're talking
year was, about? He's too old. Like, he was going to Tampa. It's like, why is anybody talking? He's a year older, by the way. Why isn't anybody bringing up Tom Brady's age?
Because they're talking about how he's throwing the ball better at 44 years old.
Okay. He's found the fountain of youth in Tampa?
It's really unreal.
What he's done. It is unreal.
I never brought up his age. I never used it as a crutch. Why has it gone away? Why has the narrative gone away? He's a year older. Should we compare him to – I mean
– No. But no. But, I mean, like you say the word crutch. I mean, it's not a crutch. I mean, it's a thing. Like every quarterback except for him is run into
exactly. That. That's the point. Exactly. He's not everybody else. That's what I've been saying for years. He's not everybody else. So stop comparing him to everybody else.
He's even more
– Here's a prime example. Ben Roethlisberger is probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think there's
the hall.
Probably. I think he's going to the hall.
Look at him. He's, what, 5 years younger than Tom Brady? Do they look even close to each other? They look like they're separated by about 15 years. Tom Brady's 5 years older than Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger looks like he's 66 years old. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's had an unbelievable career, and he's done. It looks like he is absolutely done. Why? Because they're not all created equally.
I agree 100%. And at the same time, I think you can believe that and know you've got that special guy and also lean on him when you need him. And I think right now we're looking at a stage where the Titans have had to lean on Derrick Henry, and he's shown that he hasn't lost anything. But also when there is a chance to give him a little blow and to pull back a little bit, you try to do that. You try.
Sure. Well, and I mean,
if you have the luxury of doing it, which some teams do, some teams don't. We don't know how this is going to unfold. They might have to give it to him 35 times again.
You know
Sunday.
Who had kind of this Derrick Henry mentality before Derrick Henry in the league? We've already watched it play out.
Well, there's a lot of guys that have.
I don't know if he was.
You go back to the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
No,
the league is
about
loaded
workout.
With
I'm talking about workout. I'm talking about the workout, the off-season stuff. Who was Derrick Henry before Derrick Henry? Like, we've already watched that career play out.
Well, Walter Payton had a lot of that.
No,
Jerry Rice had a lot of that.
I'm thinking more Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson, big guy. He was known for his crazy workouts every offseason. Well, when did he stop running? How old was he? About 36? When he's finally shut it down? Is he out of the league?
He's not on a team, but he was in the league last year.
Last year.
He played here in Nashville with Detroit.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, so he's already defied all that. It's because he already had that mentality. He was a big guy. He had those crazy workouts in the offseason. So, you know, I don't think there is any barrier for Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry keeps the same mentality, he can just keep doing this as long as he wants to keep doing this, or unless his body just all of a sudden breaks down. I mean,
But you just said it. There are a lot of running backs that all of a sudden their body breaks down. That is the thing that is hard to figure out.
Yeah.
That's the thing that is hard to figure out. I mean, Adrian Peterson had to miss a whole year for knee. He came
ACL,
back.
Yep.
He had one great year, and then from 2016 through 2020, he never had 1,000 yards. He did have for a bad team. But he was never the elite
top guy.
1,000
yards. I mean, even at 34
years old.
But we're talking about a different stage of his career. I think what you're looking
for
is you want that elite guy for as long as you possibly when he is the class of the league for as long as possible and at the level that he is, the weapon that he's in. At some point, it will evolve to something lower. But how long can you keep the window open where he is the ultimate weapon on an offense?
Well, when Adrian Peterson got a ton of carries and touches were obviously his biggest years in his career. I mean,
he never had as many carries as Derrick Henry had last year. He never had that many.
I think he had 363 early on in his career. I think I remember when I looked that up.
Yep, 363.
His second year. He had 348 in 2012, which is when he went over 2,000.
Over 2,000, yeah.
He had 327 in 2015.
Went for 1,500
or something. 1,485, yeah.
Yeah.
11 touches. 11
yeah,
touches.
I mean, but see, that's the tricky part, right? Like, how do you – it's like Derrick Henry, Adrian Peterson. They show you, well, if you give them the workload, they're going to produce big. So how do you lay off of that?
But I think what they're doing –
it doesn't give you the best chance to win.
But I think you can see the wheels turning that, okay, let's add a dimension. Let's add the screen game. Let's get it to him in the flat a little bit more. That I love. I love that thinking because I think time has shown that you get even less physical punishment if you are catching the ball out of the backfield
and they use
as
that
opposed
with Peterson.
To running.
He got the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, he did. Never great, but good. He was a threat.
I mean, I think he probably was probably what average 30, probably 30 something, low 30s every year.
19, 21, 43, 36, 18, 40. So a decent amount. You know, nothing, not LaDainian Tomlinson or anything like that.
No. But I'm saying that Derrick Henry could kind of turn into that. He could kind of put up the same numbers.
I'm really excited to see
Peterson.
I'm excited to see where this part of it goes because I think defenses are going to have to start taking a look at it. I don't think the defenses have really accounted for it very much so far. And if you take a look, the efficiency, what they're getting on those throws to Henry and McNichols has done a good job when they've thrown it to him. It's not like he's, you know, getting tackled right away. He's having significant gains. So now defenses are going to have to say, well, we got to account for that. We have to, and that only opens up other things out there.
We'll step away, come back, wrap up the second hour. Don't forget, you just made the list coming up at high noon as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You just made the list coming up in about 10 minutes. That's delivered by TriStar Movers with five-star service. This should get your attention. The best one? You have to call in. Remember, you have to participate by calling in at 615-737-1025. That's our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, you'll be able to see the Rolling Stones at Nissan Stadium next Saturday, October 9th. Not tomorrow, but the following Saturday, the Stones at Nissan Stadium. That's for the best you just made the list. So we better have loaded lines starting in about 10 minutes. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Don't forget our NFL Game of the Week will be on 94.9. That's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Our game this week will be the Steelers and the Packers. Kickoff is set for 3:25.
It's going to be an interesting one.
That will be an interesting one.
Because I think the Steelers are desperate.
They're teetering.
And their quarterback is a shell.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, you brought up he's probably a Hall of Famer. He is a Hall of Famer, for sure. I think he's going to Canton. But the narrative is going to be he's going to be in that list of, even though he didn't go to another team and struggle, but people are going to look at Roethlisberger and say he hung on maybe 1 to 2 years too long, and you know, to try and chase that other title, but at least he has one. So, but I this year especially, and you hate to see it.
Somebody on Twitter said, brought up to us, bless you. Yeah, you can turn your mic off. That
I did.
We forgot to bring up. Wow.
It was loud enough to fill up my
mic.
That
was aggressive.
I did turn my mic off.
Wow. Holy moly. Someone said, hey, you guys forgot to bring up Frank Gore. I think we've been down this path before.
Believe me.
I know. And it's like, look, nothing against Frank Gore. I get it. And this makes people mad, and that's okay. You can disagree. I just don't view Frank Gore – like, Frank Gore had longevity. Like, I'll give you that. I think he was a really – he was a good back. I just don't view him as Derrick Henry.
No.
I don't view him as Adrian Peterson. I don't view him as the great running backs.
Right,
that
the
we've
weapon.
Seen. He lasted.
The weapon that has the other team going, how are we going to stop? It all starts and ends. You know the Jets this week. You pick up any – computer and look up an article on the Jets preview versus Titans. It'll all start with the same thing. Or a podcast. I don't care what you're going to have to stop Derrick Henry. It is the first, the second, and the third things you have to do when you play the Titans. I don't care who you are. Frank Gore has given him full marks for being healthy enough and productive enough to be out there every year. But he is not that guy. Maybe for a very small window he was approaching that. He had a couple years where he was one of the top backs.
Yeah.
Great. But I think we're talking about the all-time greats are the ones that can be where Derrick Henry is now for a substantial enough time to be Hall of Fame. That's where you really appreciate the Emmitt Smiths, the Walter Paytons, the yes. Barry Sanders, who could do it for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. With a big workload. And the game has changed. We know the game has evolved. And Derrick Henry is a throwback because he's so special. But I think the other thing you have going for him, and Darren, I am coming around to your theory that defenses are just constructed differently now because so many teams pass. So the Titans are like zagging when everybody else is zigging because, you know, there's just passing is just a bigger part of the game. The game is played differently. So the Titans are somewhat unique. So you have to sort of adjust. Hey, wait a minute. Are we big enough and strong enough to handle Derrick Henry? We got to change our personnel groups. What do we do? Like, you have to just game plan all week for that.
Yeah. I mean, Frank Gore had over 300 carries one time in his career. One. It's 312. One time. That was his first full time being the guy in the league, his second season. In the second season. He's basically a guy who's about 240, 250 carries a year. I mean, like I said, kudos to Frank Gore for lasting forever and he was productive. I'm not saying he was, but he's not in the same ilk of these guys that we're talking about, in my opinion. Like I said, feel free to disagree, and a lot of you have, because we've had this conversation many, many times over the years. I just don't view him as Derrick Henry, Adrian Peterson, Willie, that's a good one, Emmitt Smith, the greats, like the guys that have been there. He's a guy that lasted a long time, and good for him. There's a whole lot of guys in baseball that have that longevity, right? That stuck or that was around forever, and people are like, "Well, they shouldn't be, you know, discounted." But no, you're right; they shouldn't. But does that make them a Hall of Famer? I don't think so. I don't think it makes
you a Hall of Famer. Both can get
but,
you to the Hall of Fame.
Yes,
it's just
they
can. It's just a very different thing.
Yeah. And maybe
Frank
Gore
does.
It comes
to a week to week.
So
are you, because of his longevity. Are you saying he's not?
I suspect he will.
I think he'll get in there.
He'll get in. But, I mean, I just don't view him as this. Nobody was ever, like, going, oh, my gosh. Like, Frank Gore, holy. Like, Adrian Peterson took over the league in certain seasons. Derrick Henry has taken over the league the last 2 years and now going on a third.
If you were to put a spectrum out there of running backs and different ways to do it, on one end of the spectrum would be the Frank Gore, the longevity end of the spectrum. And then the other extreme is Terrell Davis, who was dominant for
a very short window,
but extremely dominant, and it
Barry
was enough.
Barry Sanders is another one.
Well, Barry Sanders was dominant for a lot longer than Terrell Davis. Terrell Davis was just, what, 2-3 seasons?
But still walked
but
away
Super
in his
Bowls,
prime.
Well, he didn't really walk away. The injuries destroyed his
No,
career.
I'm talking about Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders.
Yeah, but
he
Barry
just,
Sanders,
he just
is,
up and quit.
Barry
he
Sanders
done.
Has the combination. Like the Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton is
yeah,
the
Barry
cross.
Sanders is elite.
That's the cross of the two.
Yeah.
Where you have longevity and domination.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean,
those are the greats of the great.
The thing with Frank Gore, 16,000 yards exactly in his career.
Which is crazy.
16 years in the league, and 9 of those years he went over 1,000 yards. I mean, that's 81 touchdowns. That's Canton.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm okay with it, but I just don't. I'm just never going to view Frank Gore as an elite
because you
running
didn't
back
talk
in the league.
Because you didn't talk about him on a daily basis like you did the other ones. I mean, that's really what it is.
It doesn't mean that he should be shunned from Canton. I'm okay with it. Like longevity does count. I get it. I'm okay with. I don't think Terrell Davis should be in. I'm sorry. I hate that he had migraines. I hate that it cut his career short. But I don't think you should get rewarded for that. That's part of it. There's other players that were great that had injuries cut their career short too, and I don't hear us rushing to get them in Canton. I mean, that's how I feel about it. I don't think Terrell Davis should be in. I think it was a mistake to put him in. I get it. He did have a window, and his window was off the charts. I hate that he had migraines. I hate that it cut his career short. Does that mean you should get in Canton for that? Just because we would project if you didn't have that stuff – you would have had off-the-chart numbers for a long, long time? Yeah, I mean, I guess we all suspect his numbers would have been, you know, ridiculous if he would have played 6 more years. But he didn't.
He's in based on what he did and what he would have done had
and
he not
done
And
they won 2 Super Bowls.
But, okay, real quick. Do you think Marshawn Lynch should be in?
I say no.
You say no?
Isn't he kind of like in the Eddie George
territory? He and Eddie like are just over 10,000 yards, except Marshawn has 85 touchdowns in his career. He did win a Super
Bowl. It's a great debate.
He had over 2,000 yards receiving with 9 receiving touchdowns. Here's why I bring that up. If you're going to put Terrell Davis in, that should open the door for guys like Eddie and Marshawn Lynch.
Well, if one's in, to me, the other one's got to be.
That's the other thing that happens over time is you have more and more years that go by, more people coming in, going out of the league. Is where do you want to set the bar?
I believe Eddie gets in one day. He'll be
older. I don't know.
I think he gets in one day.
I don't know. If you have the bar there,
there's no
then there's
that
a
he's
lot
even
of other backs
close.
Like Marshawn Lynch that have to become big parts of the discussion. That's what I think upset the apple cart a little bit when they put Terrell Davis in there. Because it was like, wait a minute, if Terrell Davis is in there, then what about
if Terrell
X,
Davis
y,
is
Z?
In, Eddie should be in. I mean, like, I look at it that way.
Different paths. We go to longevity versus short window.
And if they win that Super Bowl, it's probably
And the short window was off the charts. So that's what he's going to
get. Back-to-back Super Bowls, 2,000 yards.
I don't love Terrell Davis getting in because I do think it opens up the door for all kinds of other discussions because of that.
Where do you want to set the line is a big thing.
Yep, we'll come back. You just made the list time. Rolling Stones tickets on the line, but you got to get involved. You got to call the show. Your phone call is next.